Welcome back.
That's going to be the intro for a minute because that's how I be feeling. Hey, everybody. We're back with another episode of Good and Ghetto, the podcast. It's me, the one and only Jim.
And it's me, y'all. G. Hey, y'all.
I'm ghetto. I'm eating a french fry.
What's up, sis?
Not much. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. We're back from a little spring break, guys. We took a little spring break. And that was needed and it was wonderful. Well, we're so happy to be back on the mic together. I'm good. I'm really in a great place. I don't know about you, but like I've been having some really good sessions with my therapist this first quarter of the year. And I think I've been having good sessions because I'm really, really in a space of like gratefulness and gratitude. Like every time somebody asks me how I'm doing or what's going on, I really don't have any real complaints. And that feels so good because if y'all go back and listen to them podcast episodes from August and September and October, when anxiety was knocking my shit between the washer and the dryer. This is a very different feeling. This is a very, very different feeling. So I feel really good, grateful. Exciting things are coming. I feel like the spring and the summer are about to just be amazing for 2024. We both got birthdays coming up this spring and summer. So I feel absolutely amazing, to be honest. I really don't have no complaints.
I love it so much.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm amazing. Life is really about to take off.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm grateful. I'm really, really grateful. It was a little rough, but I'm grateful. And speaking of therapists, baby, my therapist whooped my ass in my last session. She asked me, how do I react when I am in fear and when I'm functioning in a healthy way? Mm-hmm. And that really, she gave me homework to really kind of look at my life when I'm like full of fear and when I'm functioning. And it just kind of like put a lot of things in perspective and a lot of like I think and the way I face situations. Like some stuff, it don't even be worth the attention that I'm giving it.
Mm-hmm. You gotta calm it down.
Yeah, you gotta like breathe, go take a nap, go get you a little drink and relax.
What you drinking today?
Well, you know I'm a granddaddy, so we out here with the mezcal.
Is that some gin?
No, it's mezcal.
Oh, okay, mezcal. I can do with a little mezzy mez. I can do a little mezzy mez. I like that. I got some of that on the bar cart.
Oh, delicious. What are we drinking?
I'm drinking a cut water lime margarita out of a can. Now, if y'all have stuck around, y'all been around this block of time or two, y'all know I'm going to be drinking a beverage out of a can. Am I proud of that? Not necessarily.
Now let me ask you this. I went to the bar with my auntie and mm-hmm. she tells me, first of all, it's a hole in the wall. Okay, let's just love set it up. It's a hole in the wall. I mean, it's great. I love a neighborhood bar. It's a neighborhood bar and they were serving beers. We were drinking beers. I asked for a step.
Uh-huh.
He said, do you want a glass or no glass? I was like, no, I'm just drink it out the can. My aunt looks at me when we're about to leave and says, if you ever go to another bar with me and you drink out of the can, I will never take you again. Bitch, we're at the hole in the wall.
She ate you up.
The bathroom is about two steps above a porta potty, and you want me to be classy like we're down at Maple and Ash?
She said, regardless of the location, remember who you with, motherfucker. And that's what she wanted to say. Remember who the fuck you with.
I'm not putting my mouth around.
Put the Coors Light in the glass, chilled, preferably.
No, as a matter of fact, I should piss her off and call her and say, what you doing? You want to go get a beer around the corner?
I want to go get a bubbler.
What do they call it? It's a nickname for beer. I want to get a bubble. I don't know. I hate beer.
A brewski.
I hate beer. I've tried it. I used to work at a place. I used to work at a steakhouse that had like 30 different beers on tap. Mm-hmm. And we had to try them all, like, to recommend. Every beer tastes like a different flavor of pee. And I've never had pee before. This is not me saying I've ever consumed piss, but I just feel like if I ever it be given piss adjacent, it just, it never, I feel like that's what pee would taste like. I feel like pee would taste pretty close to beer. And I've tried so many. I've tried dark, hoppy, lagers, IPA.
Literally, I think beers are definitely an acquired taste. When I lived in Texas, I was a beer girl. I was a beer girl because that was really all they had to really drink at different functions. So beer was the thing. So we would like have a beer at a happy hour, have beer at a work function, blah, 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 blah. But I get it. Like, yeah, it's an acquired taste.
I have never been able to get into it. And I have tried and tried and tried. Which is why I don't judge people when they say they don't like kombucha. I don't judge, because it is a taste. If some people, it's just some flavor profiles you just can't get with. When people say they don't like kombucha, I say, I get that. It don't taste like anything else you drink. Because beer, no matter, people give me their best beer. They're like, no, this the one you, I'm like, it tastes like the last one. I don't know. Some of my senses just like not. I'm exactly like Kev on stage, and when he makes those videos, I get it. Like, I've had a Stella. I can stomach a Stella. I can stomach a Corona. I can stomach a goddamn Blue Moon.
I don't like Blue Moon.
But I'm like, I'm forcing myself to drink it, and I'm damn sure not about to drink another one. Like, you're not about to be handing me multiple beers. If I'm anywhere where beer is the primary drink of choice, I won't be there long. One and done. Because anywhere that beer is the primary beverage, this is not anywhere I need to spend a significant amount of time.
Now, you know that I'm very blackity, black, black, black. Not to say that black people don't drink beers, but I do find that when I was in corporate America, my white counterparts would slam at least 5 or 6 of them. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
In like just a setting to be like, all right, we're just getting ramped up to start drinking.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, come on now. I lived in Iowa for 8 years. Well, I've been around some beer. It's fine. It's not like, it's just not the same way that people feel it. Like, I get it when people have just been like, I don't like to drink. Like, alcohol tastes nasty. Alcohol does taste nasty. Beer is one of the nastier ones of them. I can't do it. Beer.
I don't get that liquor tastes nasty, though. Is it because I've been drinking?
It's because we're drunks. That's the reason that we don't feel that way personally. Not to be confused with the alcoholic. That's different.
That's very different.
I'm not alcoholic, but I'm for sure drunk. I like being drunk. I'm not dependent on alcohol to function, but I do enjoy a little tip.
I agree.
It's fun.
But
it's
I do think that, you know, I think that my tip or my desire to be drunk is not as heavy as it used to be back in the day.
Baby, I can't, let me tell you, this is so, I'm so glad you brought this up. last weekend, we went to an Eric Bellinger concert. He was out here, and we went to a concert, and it was fine, and we was having a couple drinks at the spot, right? Now, remember, I did a weak-ass dry January. Biggest waste of time. I'm about to make a t-shirt.
Don't ever do that shit again.
Dry January, because that was a waste of my time. However, I do think I might have fucked up my liquor tolerance a little bit, because the way that those tequila and pineapples took me out the game.
Yeah.
I had. At the level of drunk I was, you would have thought I had 10 shots back to back and doing a mother, you know what I'm like, I was but it was such a perfect drunk. It wasn't like a, like, I'm
sloppy.
The only kind of drunk I am, I'm a sleepy drunk. Once I get drunk, I'm like, I get to get a nap right here, wherever. where are we at? We're on the curb, sounds like a bed to me. I will lay my head, I will fall asleep and lean over to the side anywhere.
anywhere once I'm drunk. And so I just didn't realize I was so drunk, because then we went to a restaurant afterwards, and baby, I was at the table like, they're like, Jemiah, what do you want to order? I was like, stop talking to me.
You know, but this is the other thing. This is the reason I drink like this. I can't drink juice with stuff.
Yeah.
You start putting ice and stuff and putting juice and stuff and extra sours and bitters, and I'd be like, where is the straight up liquor? Because I know if I have straight up liquor, I'm only going to drink two, max maybe three. And I'm going
to
be
when
like,
shit get to tasting too good, then you get beside yourself.
Once it's something else, I'm gonna be like, "Woo!"
When see, she gets it, what you put up in?
And you know, my tolerance for the sugar is very low.
And they say the sugar adds to not necessarily to the drunkenness, but it makes the hangovers worse. That's what they say. The sugar is what contributes to the hangover.
So much. So I went to, speaking of sugar and a hangover, not really a hangover, but why I don't drink like that anymore. We went to this ramen place with, I went with some coworkers, and I was trying to be fancy. I was like, oh, let me get the lychee martini.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you like sweet, strong drinks, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I can see why people get this. I told that lady, can you go in the back and get me a whiskey neat, please, so I can drink this? Because I don't know what the fuck I just drank. That shit was disgusting.
No. At the ramen and the Thai spots, what really gets you going is that sake. Now, that sake gonna have you on your ass if you take it too fast. Don't let them little ass teacups fool you.
But first of all, the ramen spots, I don't know if y'all have them out in LA, but in Chicago.
So many.
That should be lit.
The ramen spot by down the street from the crib that we like to go to. We be walking up in there, the music be playing like, "Why you always lying?" Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, for the noodles, why is we so lit at the noodle joint?
I'm telling you, the ramen spot we went to, they was playing Biggie, they was playing Pac. I was like, I just feel like this.
Why we so lit at the, and it's like Wednesday night. This ain't even like all Fridays. It's R&B Friday. It's like no. Every day you go in there, it's lit like that.
I'm telling you, I feel a need that I need to go to a ramen spot.
Yeah, and that sake will definitely do it to you. But yeah, my liquor tolerance is really in the toilet right now. I got to get back to drinking right, because baby, my birthday is right around the corner, and I can't go out like a lame.
You really cannot. You gotta get it together. Like you gotta start like a weekend of like
a few drinks. I can't go out like a lame, unfortunately. So I just gotta go back to my nightcaps. What really used to hold me over, a nice little glass or two of wine every night after work really used to keep me.
You know what needs to get you? Is the brunch. I feel like brunch is now getting people tore up.
Oh, like, 100%. It's been like that for brunch culture as a whole. The brunch transition into day party situation is a whole thing.
I don't know if I'm there. Do you think that you're still there? Like, I don't know if I'm there at the brunch and day party.
I will say I am there for occasion. So, like, if it's somebody's birthday weekend, I'm already mentally preparing myself. On a birthday weekend, Sunday is the brunch day. Like, you're going to go to a birthday brunch on the Sunday, and it's going to be a day party thing. So I can do that on occasion. I'm not going down to the spot every Sunday, though, just to get the waffle with the cold eggs. You know what I'm saying? I can't do the turn up brunch every time. But for occasion, like if we're celebrating something, or, you know, you just pick one weekend, we're like, hey, are we trying to go outside? Then yes, I can get with the shits, but I need to know about it at least 48 hours in advance so that I can mentally and physically prepare myself. That's not something you can pop up on me the day of.
Right.
I don't think I'm at the day of portion of that. Yeah. So
I feel like I am very much, I need to be home by at least 6 o'clock.
Oh,
I got a little more hang in me than that these days.
But here's the thing.
It depends on where we're going, though, too.
It depends on where we're going. It also depends on what we did the day before. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to know ahead of time, is this weekend going to be a bender?
Is this weekend going to be a bender? Are we just not sleeping for the next 36 to 48 hours? I just need to know that ahead of time so I can like preload my naps the 3 days before. Because it's some shit where you, like, sometimes me and my girls just get in that mode, like, bitch, we're going out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Do not plan to sleep until Monday. Just don't and plan on
fair.
It.
That's fair.
So I can do that.
I do miss the days of, and here's the thing, like, I think that the reason that I've, like, curtailed a lot of stuff is because of where I live. It's just for me, it's not fun here.
You gotta have the people who are into that. What I'm learning about Chicago, crazy enough, because Chicago is actually having a moment on social media where people are like, did you know Chicago's the greatest city ever? You gotta have the people, because like I have friends who still live in Chicago and they stay outside every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they're like, you know, they're like my age, like late 20s, early 30s. They stay outside. But Chicago is one of those places where you got to like know where to go. You kind of got to like, somebody got to put you on or like, you know what I mean? It's not the place where you just go to like a downtown area and just bounce around, bar hop and stuff like that necessarily. But it is shit to do. And it be like, people look like they be having a good time. I don't know. I've never been an adult in Chicago, like going out. I've been away from home too long. But people that I know definitely be outside more than I probably would still.
It's very interesting, too, because I hate saying acting like I'm super old because I'm not super old. I enjoy going out, but I enjoy particular fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing wrong with that. Me and you, I would go out with you because I know that like, I know when I'm having a good time, it's going to be a blast. But someone that was your age that I didn't know, I probably wouldn't go hang out with them. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't hang out with somebody my age who I didn't know either. That ain't got nothing to do with age. That's called you got some fucking sense. Yeah, people are crazy.
And it's just people like they consider a good time differently. Like I was working an event. And I was like, back in the day, this was like an event that I would have come to. Mm-hmm. But now I just look at it like, this is not really my thing.
Yeah. I think another thing that kind of like puts me out the game a little bit, like low key, I don't do drugs of any sort. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, I don't do drugs of any sort. I'm owned by the government, right? I am government property. So I cannot consume the narcotics of any sort, legal or illegal. I cannot consume them.
I'm not worried about the government. And when y'all start bringing out cocaine, I'm out. Like,
I can't pop no pill. I can't hit the loud. I can't take a gummy. Like, so people's turn up also be influenced by 6 or 7. I'm like, guys, let's take a shot. And the thing about it is motherfuckers be outside and don't be drinkers. I'm a drinker. I will drink you under that table, even though my liquor tolerance is low right now. Even with a low liquor tolerance, I probably could still drink some motherfuckers under the table. People be outside and don't really be drinking. They be high. I'm like, I don't.
You know what? That is such a true point. And that's probably, that could be the real reason. Because I don't take gummies.
I don't.
Now. Not that I think that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that my level of it, I don't like being that type of high.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. I probably would if I could. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I would if I could.
I did go to a party with people that were my age, and we had a great time. But my friends were like, so you want some gummies? Bitch, no, we're drinking. Like,
what? Janice, my favorite part about partying with people who like your age or like older is that like motherfuckers be so secretive. Like they be like, you want a gummy? You want a little?
I mean, I don't care if you do it.
They
but
be
why
so
you
secretive. You want a little piece of candy? What are you? First of all, why are you whispering? This is legal here. What are you asking me? You trying to get me high? I need to know what the hell. Because if you be trying to give me a Mentos because my breath hot, that's one thing. If you trying to put me with the, you know, say why are you whispering? Why you being not secretive?
Oh God, it's just very weird. I think that it's just very weird times, and I think that is the reason I can't even put my finger on why things are weird and why I only want to hang out with certain people and why I don't really go outside. But I think it's a lot of things.
It's just different. It really is different. And you also, because we're the type of people who actually like to dance, have fun, and have a good time, you got to know who you can do that with. Because some people like to go outside just to be seen and just to be in the mix and then be on their phone the whole time. And everything is just a nonstop video. Why are you going live in the couch on the couch in the club? I don't know. Oh, put the phone down. God. Let's kick it. So what not everybody know how to kick it.
Music? Yes.
Not everybody know how to kick it for real. And then it'd be a waste of an outfit. I done did my makeup. I done put a fit on. My feet hurt. And all of this is wasted because y'all sitting in the club like painting on the wall. Paintings on the wall. You can't kick it with everybody.
I like to hear the songs. Well, are we yelling to the songs? Are we having another drink and singing to the song? And some people, and you're absolutely right. Some people don't like dancing.
Yeah.
They don't like enjoying. Like, I really like that. Like,
I'm trying to party and I never know the words to any song. Y'all out here trying to perform the fucking song. Let Tony sing it. Shake some ass. You're too busy trying to be a lyricist.
Speaking of Cardi, did you hear a new song? I really like
Cardi. I did hear her new songs.
I like her.
I like them too. I like them. I was inspired to create a little playlist called, playlist? I think it's called New Shit or Some New. Dare I say. And I might have to eat my words. Not really, because fuck y'all, but kind of. That new little sexy red song is all right with me. Get it sexy. Get it sexy. Boy, I ain't lying. Ran a paradigm. It got a little beat that's like bow, 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 bow.
Okay, wait, let me look it up. Hold on, let me look it up.
I know we had an episode here where we were not the biggest fans, and I still am not a big fan of pink coochies and brown booty holes being the public topic of conversations. I stand by that. Yeah. Do your dance.
This shit is so hood and so beautiful. It's a bop. I probably will never listen to that song ever again.
You probably would never play it on your own, but if you were out, like we were just talking about, you out in the club, we drinking, and the DJ turns that on. Some ass getting thrown.
I'm like three in and I hear, get it sexy.
Get it sexy. Good or sexy. Don't you know I'm ass and I'm fat. I forget what she said, but she said, yeah, you know this ass fat or something like that. And then the ad lib is, I ain't lying. I like it. I don't know. I kind of like it a little bit.
I mean, I get it.
I kind of like it a little bit.
It's a nice little bump.
I never said, even if we, play back when we were talking about the subject, I never had anything about, I always said, sexy red, get your bag. Whatever you selling, the people is buying. So keep selling it, mama. But it might not be for everybody. And everything you do might not be for everybody. But every now and again, you might put something out to bring the people together. That might be a little spring bling anthem she got on her hands there.
For sure. I think, this is what I personally think. I think that a lot of people stand on their soapbox from their front porch to point fingers about a lot of shit that ain't got nothing to do with you. If you don't like sex, there are a whole lot of artists that your ass can scroll over to.
Correct.
Luther. Nita.
Shout not Luther.
If that's what you want to listen to,
turn on some Anita Baker then. If you so motherfucker,
go get you some house music. Go get something. My thing is, I think that it's okay to have an opinion about something you don't like, but don't try to change everybody's mind.
Correct.
To become your mindset. I like Cardi because Cardi has always spoke her mind. She's crazy. She's, loud, whatever.
Yeah, her new songs is cute. Her two little songs is cute.
Her whole, it reminds me of her album, what was the
Invasion of Privacy.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
Her only, you know, that's the only album she ever dropped.
Only album she's ever done, which is wild.
Yeah.
But also, Sexy is not my contemporary. I don't want to see ass. I don't want to see you twerking. I don't want to see your baby daddy.
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if you watched the video for Cardi's latest song. She ain't in nothing but paint and motherfucking colored contacts.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't say I watched the video, bitch. I said I liked the song.
I saw a clip of the video. You know, Cardi ain't always, Cardi always got that ass hanging out.
Yeah, like that's the thing. And that's why I say, yeah, like, I'm not going to change nobody's mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind the ass shaking. I don't mind the ass throwing. I just never, ever, 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 ever in my life ever need to hear anybody else rapping about the color pigmentation of their coochie ever again. I'm just going to stand by that specifically. Never. I never need to hear that. No. In a song, on wax, on a record, in a headphone, ever again. Rap about anything else. Talk about anything else but your booty hole and your coochie color.
Yeah, that's wild. It's wild.
And every,
but
you
that's
know,
the time that we live in, so it is what it is.
That like, part, which is so, this is so perfect because, like I said, I really like, this really just a shoot the shit episode, you know, fresh off of spring break type shit. And I want to catch up and just see, have you been, if you were in the know or in, was your ears to the street when the TikToks was talking about, I'm a Black person and I'm afraid to admit that I'm afraid of ghetto and hood Black people, or I don't like ghetto and hood Black people.
I really wanted to make an extended conversation about shit. But yeah. I didn't, because I don't think there are a lot of people that have my perspective.
I'm very interested in your perspective. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we got to talk about this on the Good and Ghetto podcast, obviously, because it is no secret that I am a lover of ghetto shit. I am a proud hood booger and ghetto bird. And I don't think, to me, and I want to hear your perspective, but to me, ghetto is not as derogatory as of a term as people try and make it seem. That's right. My side of the argument. I made multiple videos on my TikTok about the subject.
I saw it.
Mm-hmm. And I know that I have a skewed view of it. I talk to my man about it because we both grew up different and raised in different environments, and like he has a different perspective on it too. So I definitely want to hear your perspective, because it just all depends on what you define, you the individual define ghetto as when you're putting people in that bucket. So I'm very curious on what your thoughts. This is your time to have the extended thoughts of this, because I want to know.
Okay, so most of the listeners know that if they don't, I'm a Black girl. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. So when people say, are you from Chicago? I think a lot of people say, yeah, I'm from Chicago. So they don't have to explain the suburb that they're from.
Right.
Okay. So I grew up in the suburb of Chicago, which was like maybe 20 minutes from like where Jemiah grew up, 20, 25 minutes from where she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a time where in our suburb, it was mainly Black.
Mm-hmm.
I also grew up in a time where we were told by my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, that I needed to be a good Black because that's why I grew up in the suburbs, right?
Mm.
So we already had this mindset of like, not elitism, right? Like not like Black elitism, because we weren't like, we didn't come from money, but we had this mindset of from our grandparents, my aunts, and all the people in my village that like, girl, you got to work 10 times harder. Don't be talking ghetto. Don't be saying ain't and stuff like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my mode. I grew up with both sides of my family being Black.
Mm-hmm.
But also I didn't have white friends really growing up until went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the local high school that I was supposed to go to was Proviso West. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, the neighborhood high school. And I just assumed that that's where I was going to go. But my father was like, absolutely not, because I don't want you going to that school and being ghetto like the rest of them.
He was not sending you to Proviso.
not send me to Proviso. Now, mind you, him and all his brothers and siblings, they grew up in Maywood, so they went to Proviso East. Mm. So for him, like, no. I also want to preface this and say that out of all of my siblings, I am the only sibling who went to high school with majority white people, but ended up being very pro-black.
Talk about very pro-black.
Very, very pro-black. And that will make sense in a minute. So when I went to high school, my dad put me into an all-girls school, which was very mixed. So I went to school with Irish, German, Italians, Hispanics, and black people. But the tuition was super high, all girls. And then he was like, my parents ended up moving to Elmhurst.
Which
Elmhurst, is? Elmhurst. Very white. We were, and we still are, the only black. Well, there's a black family across the street from us, but they just moved there a year ago, and we've lived in Elmhurst for almost 20-something years.
Right.
We've been the only black family on that block for all those years. So when I went to high school, again, this mindset of like, be the good black, don't talk ghetto, don't do this. You know, you got to be 10 times better. Bitch, I was 10 times worse because all I was doing was running my mouth and trying to like, because I didn't know where to fit in as a black girl.
Yeah.
Even white space, even if you are the good black, even if you do play along, your ass is still fucking black.
You're still the black, which is still automatically still less than. Black.
I don't care how good you act. I don't care how you think like, oh, I don't go to school in the hood. It doesn't matter. They still see your ass as hood.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So when I went to, so all those years I went to high school, then I went to Northern for college. And that was a complete fuck because everybody that I was hanging out with were people who grew up in the city.
Yeah. I was about to say Northern, I don't know how it was when you went there, but Northern little hood.
Northern was not like the PWI school. Northern was everybody coming from South Side, West Side.
Yeah.
That went to college. They all got on 88 and brought their black asses down to town.
Yeah.
Had a good time. But that is when I realized that my ass was whitewashed. But I also realized that I had a benefit of being bilingual. My ass knew how to talk like white folks. I knew how to deal in white arenas. I knew how to talk to the professors, but I also, I had to learn how to handle myself with black people because I had never been in a space every day. I was with black people all the time. So there were things that they would be like, oh, so you got siblings? I'm like, yeah, it's four of us. They were like, all y'all got the same mom and daddy. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was y'all ain't got to say, nah, I got, you know, a brother that's this one, it's my half brother.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, wow, this is an awakening, right? And then I realized that, you know, some of my guy friends had lived on the South Side, some of my guy friends had lived on the West Side. And so I was learning how to interact with black people that were different from my family.
Yeah.
They came from different social economical backgrounds.
Yeah.
And they come from Elmhurst to where they were the only black person.
Right.
So when I went back home, I'm like, yo, I met some dope ass people that y'all told me was raggedy and ghetto as fuck. They were the ones that was protecting my goofy ass in college.
Like, correct. They made sure I was straight.
They made sure I was straight, but they also taught me. They taught me how to navigate spaces. I remember my roommate, I didn't know nothing about seeing no fight, none of that stuff. It was a whole fight at like down the street from our dorm. And I started walking towards the fight and my roommate was like, bitch, get your goofy ass back over here. I didn't know that because I had never been in an environment like that, right? So fast forward, when I got out of college, I stayed in Elmhurst for a little bit. And then family things, like the dynamics between me and my father, I was just like, I'm out. I want to do my own thing. I am the only child of my parents that has lived on my own, moved to a different state. But when I lived on my own, I was the kid over at Jemiah's house in the hood. And it didn't faze me. Like, I wasn't, like, internally was I like, oh, man, this is nothing like how I grew up. Yes. Yeah. But did it scare me? Was I scared of the people? No, because I was,
Janice used to be chopping blocks. I remember when you got that apartment on 65th. I said,
I was on 60th and Stony, and then I moved 60th. From there, and I went to 69th and Crandon. So I was like in the hood. Like those were the best years of my life. How could you live over there with these? But I said, first of all, let me tell you something. All the men in my building, they take care of me.
Make sure I'm straight.
They be like, yo, you got your groceries. Make sure you check your car. They down there towing cars. Make sure you ain't getting no ticket, da, da, da. So right. This whole phenomenon of Black people being like, I'm so scared of the ghetto. Somebody said that is complete anti-Blackness. And I completely agree 100%. With it, because I have a family member who thinks that, like, you know, I just want to be around white people. Bitch, your ass is Black.
Right. Wake up.
So for me, my mindset, like, that is the most outlandish thing that I have ever heard in my entire life. And it is so beyond the truth. And I think that when people say shit like that, they hate themselves because you don't see yourself in other people.
You don't want those white people that you're trying to get approval from. You don't want them to consider you ghetto. You don't want to be the ghetto to them. So then you diminish and belittle and degrade people who have lifestyles that just look different than yours.
But they only look different because they have been given a hand that they have to play.
Talk about it.
That's it. Like, it's not like you did anything different. Like, that's what one person made a choice.
That's why I don't understand, like, when people are like, yeah, I don't like that ghetto bullshit. First of all, I do have to take it to I have a more literal perspective of it than most people do. Because when people say ghetto, they automatically attribute that to a specific kind of behavior. To me,
right.
Being ghetto is not a type of behavior. You ghetto if you from the ghetto. Point blank period. Ghetto is a neighborhood. A ghetto is a type of environment that you are raised in or that you live in or that you are accustomed to. It's just like being country. You're country because you live in the country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or you country because your household is a country household. Y'all do country shit, right? Mm-hmm. So you can be ghetto and anything. So when people be like, I don't like that ghetto shit. I love all that loud and all that loud and ghetto and da-da-da. No, you don't like loud people. You don't like rude people. You don't like...
That gets me about that is when you say, I don't like loud ghetto people. White people are worse than us when they get loud.
But like, they're not considered ghetto. That's why that's the conversation I'll be trying to have people. I'm like, the things that you don't like about what you are deeming as ghetto people are just things you don't like in people. But when those people are Black, then they are labeled ghetto. But when other people who are not Black do exhibit the same exact behaviors, you're not labeling them ghetto. That's the anti-Black shit. Why you got to put a whole derogatory label on the behaviors that you don't like in people? Just say you don't like certain shit. Just say that you was a lame and you got picked on at lunch because you came to school in K-Swiss and it just so happened that, oh shit, look at that bitch. That bitch got on K-Swiss, was bumping at all the Drew parties. So now you got on K-Swiss and you get inflamed up.
But my thing is, the most times when people are like, I don't like get this. This is another reason why I don't like it, because when you say that, when you say, I don't like ghetto X, Y, and Z, I feel like the culture or whatever Black people do, white people want to be.
100%.
That's what they want to be. And you really want to be that too. And to your point, you're a fucking cornball.
You don't like Black people because you don't like ghetto people because you never got the validation from ghetto people that you desperately seek. Because the ghetto people is always the coolest motherfuckers you know. They're always the funniest motherfuckers you know. They always got all the charisma. And this is why I say, for me, I take it so offensively, because I consider myself to be ghetto. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I was born and raised on 79th Street. My family still live on 79th Street. I'm ghetto. I come from ghetto shit. You know what I mean? I have ghetto tendencies. That still doesn't mean I'm not smart. That still does not mean I am not well-spoken. That still doesn't mean that I can't handle myself in a professional setting. That doesn't take away from any of the skills or any of the other things that I am. It's a duality.
I'm from the ghetto and
I have the separate, I have the like reverse story of you where I'm the kid who was born and raised in the ghetto and went to school with white kids my whole life. You know what I mean? I went to school with white kids in grammar school. I went to school with white kids, mixed kids, everybody in high school. And then I went away to a white ass college. Like, and the things that people love about me, whether they realize it or not, can be directly connected to the fact that I was born and raised a ghetto kid. My charm, my sense of humor, my finesse, my resilience and being able to make a way out of no way. All of that comes from being born and raised in the ghetto and having to unfortunately learn and to exist in survival mode at a very young age, growing up and realizing like, damn, we don't have everything we need, but shit, that's not about to change. You know what I mean? You can't sit around soaking. So you got to make the best out of it. And that's the part about ghetto and hood shit that nobody wants to give credit to people. Don't nobody want to give credit to ghetto people and hood people who literally make the best out of the worst circumstances. To me, that's my definition of ghetto. Ghetto is being put in circumstances outside of your control and still making the best out of it and still trying to figure out a way to thrive and survive and still find joy in shitty circumstances.
That's
what being ghetto is. Now, are there negative things that come out of that? Sure. But guess what? Those negative things that come out of the ghettos exist in every other community. Yes. Guns, violence, robbing, killing, loud, rude, aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. All those characteristics exist in every other community of people. But we only call it ghetto and we only demonize it as this like decrepit behavior when it's Black people. And that's what the rest of the world do to us. So it's not surprising. But it's when Black people get their ashy ass on the internet and decide that they want to reveal, I'm afraid. You're not afraid of ghetto people. Like,
that's what pisses me off. Like, when they have that stance, like, you're afraid. First of all, there's no need to be afraid. Now, if you go into a crime-infested area that you ain't supposed to be in, of course you should be nervous and have your head on the goddamn swivel. Yes, you should.
And then ask yourself, what am I doing over here? You're probably over there trying to get into some shit that you ain't got no business getting into anyway with your corny preppy ass. Going back to your side of town, man.
And that's the thing. Going back to the point that I said, everybody tries to make, like trying to change someone's perspective. Your perspective is that you probably dealt with someone who you quote unquote thought was ghetto. And they played you. And now you say everybody is. And you just, that's not the same. That's not the same because your favorite white person, your favorite non-person of color wants to be ghetto.
That's the thing. I get it. Listen, I get people who, no one is saying that y'all can't be scared of the gangbangers who are out here shooting people. And you can't be scared of the little niggas who ain't got nothing to lose and out here robbing people. Like, sure, that's okay, but you're scared of criminals. Most of us are. That's not, you don't have to directly correlate criminal to ghetto. You don't have to directly coordinate all the negative things you don't like about Black people and say that's what ghetto is. That's not what ghetto is. That's just what those things are. That's just violence. You don't like criminal behavior. Cool, nor do I. You know where I don't like criminal behavior? In the middle of the motherfucking backwoods of Iowa where they be burying bodies behind barns. That's where I feel uncomfortable. That's where you won't catch me after dark. I do cartwheels down 79th Street at motherfucking 2 o'clock in the morning before you ever see me trotting through the motherfucking back roads of any middle of America white ass town. That's what I'm scared of.
That's what gets me. I watch enough true crime to know that you white people are out here. The ones you love. You ever watch Snapped? Killer Couples?
Yeah.
Majority of the time, it's not us.
That shit happening in motherfucking Naperville, not on 63rd.
Okay. Listen, the most a nigga trying to do down the street is rob something so he can go get something for his kids or his mama.
Right.
And the other part that I don't like is everyone talks about, oh, this person's ghetto, that person's ghetto. But you don't even find out their story. You don't even find out why they do the things that they do. And I'm not saying you got to find out why Lil Pookie and Ray Ray Nim is outside beefing. That's not what right. I'm saying. But overall, like, you think because, oh, well, my parents took us to the suburbs, and how dare I try to act better than you and say, oh, well, I grew up in Elmhurst. Okay, bitch, barely.
I don't like barely. That's like saying, I don't like that suburban shit, because all suburban people are just bougie and have a stick up their ass. That's not true. First of all the suburbs ain't even like that. It's some suburbs that be making me want to, yeah, look or look left, look right. That shit be looking. I'm just
saying,
every suburb ain't like that. Every suburb is not Bel Air. It's not Beverly. Mm-mm. First of all. Mm-mm. And that's like, that's literally like saying everybody from the suburbs is a whitewashed Oreo stick up her ass bitch. Can't stand those suburban bitches. That's just not true.
That's not true. That where I really grew up, they be like, yo, I thought that you were like you grew up on the South Side. No.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, in the opposite for me, depending on where you meet me at, you will never know that I grew up where I grew up. So when people, that whole argument was just so tired to me, and I felt the need to say something, because I just think, like, one of my best and oldest friends in the world, literally one of my grammar school friends, grew up on 79th Street around the corner from my grandma, right off of Kimbark, and she's currently getting her master's at Harvard right now. Like, and has always been the smartest person I know. Whole life, smartest motherfucking person
Michelle
I know.
Obama.
Like, and we can give countless examples, because there are so much good things, the creativity, the resilience, the ambition that comes from being raised in those circumstances. Why we don't want to talk about that? Why don't we have as much eagerness and audacity to attribute those things to the ghetto? But no, we just use ghetto as a label for everything that we don't like about Black people. And I think that's weird, and I think that's whack. You can have an opinion. I also don't like certain shit about our community. But you don't have to label that as that's strictly what ghetto is. Therefore, I don't like ghetto people. Because if you don't like ghetto people and you don't like ghetto shit and you're so afraid and you're scared, I don't want to hear you rapping no Cardi B. I don't want to hear you rapping no motherfucking Sexy Red. I don't want to hear you turning up to the Migos, Thugga, Lil Baby, Da Baby, Big Baby, Baby B, Baby C, Baby D. I don't want to hear you. All I want to hear is motherfucking Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande. And as soon as you turn on the remix with Nicki Minaj on it, cut that off too. Don't like no parts of the ghetto bullshit then. Don't like any parts of it. Don't just like us ghetto motherfuckers when we entertaining you. No, say fuck it all, but y'all not willing to do that. Because you're dense and you're shallow as fuck, and that's lame and that's weird. And I'm the type of ghetto bitch who's gonna call you a fucking cornball.
It's such an annoying thing. Like, when I see stuff like that, like, sometimes I don't even like, sometimes I pay attention, but sometimes I don't, because it's like, what you're saying, I feel like you're trying to go viral. Because why would you even say that?
And people who are defending are like, you know what she meant. She meant when she sees this type of guy or this type of person, you know, she meant not all ghetto, but this ghetto. But what's the point of you getting on the World Wide Web to say anything to bring down Black people of any kind?
But I get more scared when I see a white man in
the... I'm somewhere and I see a white motherfucker alone. I was like, who you with? What you doing over here?
What are you over here for? I literally just rode through the West Side and told my mama. I was like, my mother was like, that's not no white man. I said, look again.
Nah, they all over.
Dan is over here. Dan is over here buying crack cocaine, baby.
They all over the city. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say what, and this is for me, because I love everybody. Some of my a couple of my best friends or closest friends are also white. I'm not scared of every white person. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to flip the script. But I'm just saying, when you talk about Black people talking about Black people, I done seen some of the most ghetto shit in the world. And it's some of that shit I also don't like. But guess what? I'm not going to get on my public worldwide web platform and say, fuck all them ghetto bandy bitches. No, I'm going to say that shit in the backyard.
with the people, with my people drinking the motherfucking margarita. Like, it's a time and a place for everything, but you're trying to get cool points on the internet, trying to get the acceptance right. and validation of everybody but your own people, and that's weird. That's weird. And people and trying to...
Like people say, it's being anti-Black, and it sucks.
For no reason. People are like, you're telling me if you come, if a guy walks up, if this guy walks in a party, I saw this one video, this Black dude, he walks in a party. If someone walks in a party with a hoodie on and a ski mask and he has his hands in his jacket, are you telling me you wouldn't be scared if that guy's going to come out here and spray everybody?
Hey. First of all, relax.
Hey, Theodore.
Where's Alvin?
Nobody's spraying you, Theodore. You don't have any ops, Lucas.
You wouldn't even be invited to the party that he's putting his hood up at.
Right. Why are you there? If you're so scared, then why are you in the same party as this person? You probably somewhere that you don't need to be, but you're trying to look cool. Why? Because being close to this shit that you're trying to talk down to is cool. But you're going to villainize it and demonize it as soon as it's not directly benefiting you. Baby, this is the same thing I tell people who try and like act like Chicago is Gotham City. Baby. Nobody's looking for you. Go down to the Magnificent Mall. Take your ass down to that water tower and buy whatever the fuck you want to buy about the Akira. Nobody is looking for you. Go and get your Giordano's. I promise you'll be fine.
Even if you go to Italian Fiesta over on 71st, they're not going to bother you. Slide your money through that glass and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Can we just talk about that for a quick?
You're going to be fine. Second.
I'm so over. Very much over. People deeming Chicago as being, like you said, this Gotham City. Baby, it is not that. Mm. It's not that at all. They showing million-dollar homes downtown. They showing penthouses. If you think that this place is what you see on the news and what they're telling you, you're crazy.
But the secret is coming out now. I'm telling you, it's all over TikTok. And I hate it because I don't want Chicago to become an influencer city, but it's all over TikTok because it's that sound. It's a sound that went viral, like, it went on, dun, 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 and take me back to Chicago. And everybody So everybody's posting like America's best kept secret and posting, you know, the river and all this stuff. And now everybody's like, you must visit Chicago. It's the greatest city. Da, 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 da. Like, Chicago is having a whole moment on TikTok right now, and all the girlies are like running on the lake and like, look how beautiful, it's such a beautiful city. It's a lot of Chicago propaganda in the influencer world right now, so you have been warned.
I was riding someplace and they were like, oh, look at the views, and it was like coming around like Wacker, like right off Michigan, around Wacker, and I was like, are y'all freaking kidding me? Like, I've been seeing this for the past 15 years. I used to walk over the bridge and go to Apple. Like, what are y'all talking about? And people are like, oh, Chicago's so amazing and da-da-da-da. I'm like, it's been amazing. We've been going down Navy Pier until these motherfuckers were
born. It's been a secret. People ain't been hip because it's not a hot spot for celebrities. You know what I mean? We don't have a celebrity market in Chicago. It's not like LA, New York, where all the celebrities, or Atlanta, where the music and the film industry and all the stuff, where all the stars have a reason to settle there. So Chicago has always just been its own little thing. And then it got the notoriety for just being violent. And so it has kind of kept people away, but it's having a moment now. Everybody's like, no, just kidding. It's so pretty. It's so cool. You must visit. It's a river. They turn it green. St. Patty's Day. All I saw was the green river. All up and down TikTok. Yeah. It's having a moment. So I have a feeling that summertime in Chicago is going to be very... And this year, this summer, is the 20th anniversary of Lollapalooza. So it's going to be stupid.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
It's already stupid. Let me take...
I've never been to Lolla a day in my life. I've never been interested.
Have you ever been downtown when Lolla was
I've born? Been downtown during Lolla, but I've never went.
Let me tell you how. If I ever never wanted to be downtown, I'd take my ass out of Hyde Park. Because being downtown for Lolla is Same.
I avoided Lala at all costs. I have never went. The lineup this year looked like okay. I think SZA is gonna be there. So, but like SZA's the lineup look halfway decent.
I would never. But you know the other reason too why I feel like mm-hmm. Chicago might be getting all that is because they brought that race here last summer.
Oh, the NASCAR shit?
Yeah, and it was actually pretty cool. I went to it, but it definitely turned people to be like, oh, wait a minute, Chicago?
I mean, it's just, to me, it's just always been that way. I guess growing up, because also growing up working in community organizing with my mama and stuff, like, I remember us bidding for the Olympics. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just have always considered Chicago to be a main attraction for the United States. I'm completely biased, but it always surprises me when people... You know what I mean? Just forget that it's the third largest city in the country. It's the third largest city in the country. It has everything that any other large city in the country would have.
Best food. The best food.
The best food, yeah. And people hate to hear it. But
Chicago, New York, LA. That, to me, that's what it is. But yeah, I think that it's absolutely insane that people are going crazy about Chicago.
Yeah, people are literally going crazy, but... I'm so glad that we segue that way, because I really wanted to hear your perspective about the ghetto thing, being someone who was raised in the suburbs, but still is so deeply connected to just Black culture in general, and who has spent a significant amount of time in the city. Like, you literally left the suburbs and never went back. And so I definitely wanted to hear your perspective, because it's just like I just don't like when people generalize things. And I guess I just took it a little more offensive because it's something that I just think is ridiculous. It's the reason why I literally call my podcast Good and Ghetto. It's just not that big of a deal. Being ghetto just simply means you are from the ghetto. And you could be from the ghetto and be a fucking Harvard graduate. You could be from the ghetto and be the next president of the United States. I just don't think it's that deep.
From the ghetto and enjoy ghetto-esque things.
Yeah, and you could be from the ghetto and have parts about the ghetto that you also don't like. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you have to, you know, completely just shit on a whole community of people that you frankly, clearly don't understand for you to even have that opinion of it. But I digress. I'm dropping off my ghetto soapbox, but it wouldn't be me if I did not pop my shit on my own shit. Period.
Exactly.
Sure. And on that note, I think we can hop on to the good and ghetto.
Yeah. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So what's good? For me, what's good is that this year I've been really challenging myself with execution. I am someone who has like the worst planning and preparation paralysis. Like, I get stuck in planning and preparing. I'm going to research something and plan and prepare and write notes and write it in my planner and buy a new planner and write it again and sticky note and map it out, brainstorm, journal about it, pray about it. I'm going to do all the planning and preparing. But when it's time to just like green means go, freezing. I'm just frozen. You know what I mean? So this year, I'm like, girl, you have to do things. You have to actually do things. No matter how small the step, you have to take a step. You cannot just plan. Because if you're planning, you are not doing, which means ultimately you are failing. And I think in my mind, I'm not failing at something because I'm not doing something, but you're failing because you're not even attempting. So my good is that I am very proud of myself that this past month or so, I've been challenging myself to do things. I went out to a social event here in LA. And it was really cute. It's like an all women social group. And we made flower bouquets together, which is cute because I told you I wanted to get into flower arranging. I think I still have some ways to go on that. I won't say that I'm much of a expert, but I did it. So I was proud of myself for showing up. And then also creatively, I'm really excited to share eventually when I can officially share, but just know y'all, I have some really exciting creative news to share with y'all. And I'm super proud of myself for being presented with an opportunity and it came through for me in a major way. So I'm really excited to start working on this new creative project that eventually I'll be able to share with y'all. And it's going to be so fun. And I'm so lit. Like, I'm so excited about it. So, that's my good, y'all. Execution. I'm really out here doing things. And I got to celebrate myself and be proud of myself. I might not be checking everything off my to-do list, but I'm doing more than I was doing
6 months ago. So yes. That's my good. Proud of me.
What you getting?
Do you want to do your good first?
Okay, let me do my good. Like my twin, I love that you are executing. I also, for me, I think that my good is I am embracing life going slow.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that where I used to be very anxious and always trying to rush and force things, I am embracing the idea. I haven't worked a traditional job in like 3-4 years, maybe yeah. 3 years. And it has been a lot of uphills and a lot of valleys. I feel like more valleys than uphills, but I have really, I think now I have been fully embracing just going slow. And sometimes what you pray for doesn't look like what you prayed for. So years ago, I prayed that I would be able to work from home, that, you know, I can have cooked dinner and just have the leisure of creating the world that I wanted to see. And now that I have the opportunity to do that, it's scary, it's uncertain, but I think that I am finally at a point that I'm like, girl, sit back and relax and just let this good flow. So I'm very proud of myself. And so with that, so many doors of opportunity have opened. I won't share yet, like Jemiah said, I can't share yet.
Right. But I'll
share next coming week.
Soft launch.
Yes. Soft launch. But I'm very, very excited too, because I feel like this next step is a kind of like a relaunch of me getting fully back into my creative bag. So
that is what I,
yes. I love that. Proud of you always.
My ghetto. My ghetto, and I'm gonna keep it brief and try not to go on an actual tangent about it, but I would just say I watched that show, The Program. I watched that show, The Program, on Netflix. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
All I'ma say, I watched that, and I have yet to watch Quiet on Set, which is where they're talking about the Nickelodeon kids.
Oh, I'm 2 episodes in, baby.
All I'm gonna say is some of y'all need to stop having fucking kids if y'all don't want to be parents. Because at the end of the day, from what I can pick up, I finished the program, and from what I can pick up on the discourse of Quiet on Set, is that these kids is going through what they're going through because their parents don't give a fuck about them. Huh?
It's not funny, but it's so true.
Stop having children if you are not prepared to unconditionally love the kids regardless of how they turn out. Not that you're only going to love them if they turn out how you want them to turn out. The kids deserve and are owed the protection and safety and care and love of their parents. So when I'm watching this shit and I'm like, damn, a lot of this could have been fucking avoided if the parents just gave a fuck, because I was watching the program and I said, baby, if I come to the school and see my child and one pencil is out of place, one paper clip is bent back in the wrong motherfucking direction, I'm asking questions. I'm flipping shit over. Okay, yeah, this office is nice. Where's the gymnasium? Where's my baby's room? Let me see the showers. I need to see
that.
They out there on the lawn having a picnic. Let me see the locker room. I want a full tour from the rooter to the tutor. Do I be out here in the motherfucking picnic playing volleyball? This ain't no field day. I didn't come here to play no goddamn dodgeball. I'm trying to see what the fuck's going on. What's going on? Them parents is crazy. And it's something in the water about the program. We didn't get the full story. Didn't get the full story because it's also something more that them kids don't want to tell. Because, baby, I don't give a fuck what them teachers said to me when my mama came to see me at that school. Okay, this has been cute. Get me the fuck up out of here. They're touching me. They're knocking our shit between the washer and the dryer. Where do you have me? Get me out of here. They're talking about, we wanted to say something, but they set the number one rule. Mama, that lady in here calling me a crack whore. I ain't never did no crack. Can you get me out of here, please?
Crazy. The fact that they were like really saying stuff that wasn't true.
It was something that wasn't really, it's the way they're 100%. The way that they spent that story and the girl who was telling it, like, I get what she was going for, but also now you down at the karaoke singing with, it was just.
Yeah. That whole, like, I was like, you were really in here with
there
this
There were man? Some gaps in the story, and I believe everything that they said they experienced and went through, all the abuse, emotional, physical, all that, I believe it happened. But I also believe there's another layer that happens with the parents, and I don't think the parents were just so manipulated. Like, no, y'all knew what was going on. Y'all knew what type of time these programs was on, and whoever the powers that be had something on you, had something on your family where either you're going to pay to put your kid in this fucked up situation, or your situation is going to end up fucked up. Like, it's something with those parents that was off, and it's something with the kids where it's like, they were clearly brainwashed, because it's like, and nothing would have stopped me from telling my parents what the fuck was going on. Because these also were not 7 and 8 year olds. These was 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds. Yeah. Right. By that time, at least I know right from wrong. At least I know that the motherfucking, the damn lunch, the gym teacher ain't supposed to be coming in here playing in my booty hole. At least I know that. And if that's happening, I'm telling my mama, now, if y'all was in there fucking and trucking for fun, no shame. Teenagers, hey, you know what I'm saying? But also tell that part of the story. If y'all was in there on demon time.
Could you imagine you telling Renita some shit like that? And could you imagine the way Renita and Connie at the time and Lil Shay Shay would have came up to that school?
The whole school would have been, it would have looked like Swiss cheese. Uh-huh. The whole campus would have been looking like Swiss cheese. Okay? It wouldn't have been, listen, I'm not, it wouldn't have ended how anybody wanted. I'm gonna just say that.
God, could you even imagine? Oh my God.
And I'm just like, so yeah, I don't want to get into a whole recap, but my ghetto is simply that parents, people who even think they're gonna be parents, do not have children if you are not prepared to be a parent and love and protect that child, regardless of who they turn out to be. And we're talking about if they're gay, trans, yeah, they like white, they want to date white, they want to date Indian, they want to.
Never.
You cannot control who your child evolves into being. You could do your best, but it's not going to work, especially in the 20 of 20 anything. The influence is too great outside the household. So please stop having kids if you don't want to really be a parent. Stop. Just everybody.
Mean, for goodness sake.
And obviously that thought just came into my hand. Obviously all that stuff was happening in the 90s and 2000s. So the message still remains the same, but the times were different. But still, that just hearing what everybody talking about this quiet on set, I'm going to watch it this weekend, and then finishing the program last night, I'm just like, these kids were fucking doomed. Truly.
Doomed. And then these are the adults that are in the world today.
You would have been better off just beating your kid ass yourself. Why would you send your kid somewhere to get their ass beat by strangers? Pop Nicky upside the motherfucking head because he came in here high. What the fuck? The audacity.
You're also high, though. That's what gets me.
And whoever running that school... Whoever running that school is probably supplying you with the shit. And that's why you got to pay off your debt by selling your child to this motherfucking program that you're paying $75,000 a motherfucker. Janice, I was mad.
For him to leave the place. Well, okay, let me not go there.
My ghetto, the program was very ghetto, and white people be very ghetto. That's how we gonna round that on up. White people can be very ghetto with their dealings and their goings on.
Y'all are ghetto.
If everything is ghetto.
I don't understand why we get the whole we're ghetto, but they are the worst kind. They're the worst. They're the worst. Anyway, let me just get to my ghetto. It's not as crazy, and I won't go in. What I will say, what I think is very good, is I realized that the whole world the entire world went through a global pandemic. I know that we have dealt with things that, you know, we lost loved ones, we had craziness and all types of stuff. And it might be real small and minute, but you know what I think is very ghetto is the fact that we don't have any more good customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Customer service is fucking trash.
It's a wrap.
It is depths of hell. Like, I understand that people can be crazy. I understand that customers can be absolutely insane. I get it. I get that you don't like your job at Wendy's.
Uh-huh.
But what I don't understand is when me and my mama come through the drive-thru and we ask for a meal, there are no napkins. No straws. How are we supposed to sip this? We're supposed to take the lid off of our cup and drink out of the cup. Sir, I pay $15. And let me just pause there and say, you fast food chains are getting out of control.
It's not even worth it anymore.
We literally went to Burger King to try their vegan Impossible Burger.
Don't waste your time.
$20?
Don't waste your time.
Fucking dollars. Are you insane?
Yeah, quite literally, they are.
Could have took my ass down to Whole Foods, spent $15, and made a better burger than this.
And got a couple patties. Got a patty or two out of it.
Oh, a couple! $20? And then $20, and you won't even give me my fries with my barbecue sauce, and then you stingy on the packets of the barbecue sauce?
Because y'all trying to save the motherfucking turtles, talking about utensils by request only. Give me the napkin and a straw.
But don't nobody care about me. We care more about the goddamn turtles than you care about me.
Give me the napkin and a straw in the bottom of the bag. Wrap the bag before my food even go in there. Put the napkin in the bottom.
I was so appalled and so shocked. Yeah. And what appalled me even more was the fact that they were all standing around looking out the window.
Yeah.
Get that motherfucking bag and put some napkins and a straw in that bitch.
And another goddamn honey mustard. Give me another honey mustard. Because when you go on your lunch break eating your free motherfucking faux, you make sure you take about 2-3 honey mustards and a ranch and a barbecue sauce. Yeah, give me a honey mustard.
You got 5 of them. And it is very minute. It's very small in the world. But that's just the fact that customer service is completely trash. It's completely out the window. It's in the depths of hell. And I don't think that there is any redeeming us to back to a place of like great customer service. And here's the thing. I'm not looking for the conversation. I'm just looking for you to be fucking cordial.
And just do your job. You can start there. You can start by just fully doing your job from end to end. Don't skip no parts. Like the napkin and the straw in the bag is a part of your responsibility. Can you just not skip that part?
And then, bro, at the register, get my card. Tell my son, it's 15:18. Okay, here you go. Yeah, you all set.
See you. Nothing. Wouldn't want to be you.
Like, oh, bro, come on, bro, you do it, like, okay, that's my ghetto, I'm done, I can't, I'm gonna just take it home.
That's real. Well, y'all, that is another episode of Good and Ghetto, the podcast. Also, make sure, I put the link in the last episode, make sure y'all shop in my sis journal, the journal's still up, still for sale,
Faith and Delusion.
Make sure y'all shopping that. I'm going to continue to put that link in the episode description box so y'all know exactly where to find it. Follow us on all the socials at Good and Ghetto the Pod on Instagram, at Good and Ghetto the Pod on YouTube, at _ Good and Ghetto the Pod on TikTok. And we really appreciate y'all for listening. Follow, rate, subscribe, leave us some reviews. Let us know that y'all listening. I know that folks be listening, but like when y'all talk to us a little bit, it let us know that you're listening, you engage, and that just, you know, adds a different level of enjoyment for us. But honestly, we do this because we love doing it and we love just being able to chit chat and talk shit to one another. So thank you for being a fly on the wall of our mess yet again. And if ain't nobody told you today, I'm proud of you.
Proud of you.
Period. Bye, twin. Yes. Love you.
Bye, twin.